It is this central, this is the centerpiece of history. Everything changed at this moment. Everything changed. And so what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to mainly read this long story of the resurrection. I'll make some comments along the way, but it's God's Word that's more important than things I have to say about God's Word. It is resurrection that is the reason we're here. It is new life. And sometimes, because maybe we've heard it, we don't realize what the significance, how different this made the world in this key event of history. I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found out that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. You and I would have been terrified too. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day?" Then they remembered that he had said this. Sometimes you and I forget what Jesus says, and we have to be reminded. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James. See, they're so humble they don't even call her Mary the mother of Jesus here. And several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Men, let me speak to us. Many times we do not listen carefully to the Lord. These women came and they're like, "Oh, y'all are hysterical, y'all are grieving, it's okay, sit down." Folks, we need to listen to God, we need to listen to each other, men and women together. So some of them didn't believe. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings, and then he went home again, wondering what had happened. The book of John tells us that as Peter ran, so did John. John and Peter ran, and they were hoping, I think, what if it's true? They're still not convinced. They're still confused, but they have the willingness to go see if this is really true. Peter runs here, and in the book of John, it tells us that John outran Peter. John was probably younger. And John got there, but Peter was bolder. John stopped outside the tomb and looked in. Peter went in. Peter was bolder. And Peter, it says here, was still wondering, is this true? I wonder. You remember the last time Peter had seen Jesus? What had he just done? He said, "I don't know that guy. I don't know Jesus. Why are you talking to me like this?" He had publicly denounced his Lord. And I think there was something in Peter that said, maybe there's a chance for me yet. Maybe there's a chance for me to see Jesus one more time and apologize, ask forgiveness. What if? Some of you may be like that right now. You've done something or you've done things and you're just ashamed in front of Jesus. And today the Easter message says to you, Jesus will respond to you if you will respond to Him. Peter went looking, I think, for a chance to apologize and to start over. But he's still not convinced. This is all on this Sunday. this resurrection. The same day, verse 13, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Is that like walking to Batu Ferengi? I'm not sure. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. I think there's a little humor here. God smiles. He's walking with them. They don't quite recognize him. They're so intent on their grief, their pain, their disappointment. They're confused. He asked them, Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness across their faces. And then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. I think with maybe a gentle smile. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priest and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning. They came back with an amazing report. They said the body was missing, and they had seen the angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Notice they didn't say, "Sure enough, he had risen." They're still confused. They still don't know. They're still grieving. They're still disappointed because they thought this was the Messiah, and how could the Messiah be killed? And it says here, sure enough, his body was gone. That's all they know. The body wasn't there. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the Scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets." I think he held a Bible seminar as they walked those 7 miles. "Explaining from all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." What an incredible opportunity. Jesus goes, "Remember this passage? It means this. Remember that one? It means this." All the Scriptures. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. "Wait! I want to talk to you." But they recognized him. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the Scriptures?" When Jesus explains the Scriptures to us, our hearts will get excited. They'll burn. They'll go, "Yes, I want to hear more." And within an hour, they're on their way back to Jerusalem. It's like, hey, we got to get back and tell everybody. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He has appeared to Peter." So they were coming back to say, "Hey, we saw the Lord risen." And they said, "Hey, we already have seen the Lord risen too." And they're beginning to understand. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. You know, we recognize people when they do something familiar. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you. Well-being be with you." But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. This moment is very, very significant. Jesus was in a new kind of body. This was not the old body of Jesus. This was a new body. He appeared. He didn't walk through a wall. He didn't walk through a window. He didn't climb the stairs. He was there. But it was a new kind of body. It is the kind of body that you and I will receive when we're before the throne. It is the resurrection body. In other passages, it talks about Jesus as the first fruit from the dead. His body will be the kind of body we get. It'll still have some of the same scars. Jesus had those scars, we'll see in a moment. It is still a real body. When I was a child growing up in Indonesia, I was very young. I was 5 or 6. My grandfather died. One of my grandfathers died. And of course, we heard about it. We had a time as a family. And I remember, I'm 5 or 6 when I'm hearing this. And so I asked, where is granddad? Well, his soul is in heaven with God. So like a little 5-year-old, I have this image of this little puff of smoke running around with granddad on it in heaven. And sometimes he would sit on a shelf and look down and be watching us. And a lot of times we have this image of heaven of really, we're going to be a bunch of clouds or something. No, we're going to have a body. It's going to be a perfect body. It's going to be the resurrection body. And Jesus said, here it is. It's going to be a real body. You're going to be able to touch it. We're going to be able to touch each other and see each other and listen to what he does. And again, I think this is a little bit of God's humor. God gives us humor. I think he has some. I think we see it here. It's gentle humor, but it's humor nonetheless. So they're frightened. Why are you frightened? Well, I'd have been frightened too. All of a sudden, he's there. Boom. I'd be scared too. I would only have the only framework I could think of. Well, he's a ghost. I'm scared. And it says they think they're seeing a ghost. He says, why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubts? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me. Make sure I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. What you need to know about the crucifixion is the nails would have gone here. Not here, but here. This is called the hand. It's the only bone strong enough to support the weight of the body. So he said, look at my scars. Look at the scars on my feet. I'm here. They're still not convinced. So as he spoke, he showed them his hands and feet. Verse 41, still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Have you ever been like that? I'm not sure I believe, but I'm sure joyful about it. Kind of a confusing state, isn't it? Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. This is where the humor comes in. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? What? They're scared to death. He's trying to calm them down. And, hey, can I have some fish? What? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. They even tell us how it was cooked. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Why? To prove to them that he was real. This is a body. It is different than the old body, but it is still a body. You eat, and the fish doesn't drop to the floor. You eat, it is a real body. It is very, very significant. This is a glimpse of what you and I will experience in heaven. And this is very important that we understand this. When we celebrate the resurrection, it was not the old body that was raised. It was the new body that was raised in a way that we will never fully understand until we get there. Until I see my granddad again and realize he's not this little cloud running around. It's going to be him. And we're going to see each other. Now, when they saw Jesus, every time someone saw Jesus the first time, what'd they do? They didn't quite recognize him. In Indonesia, we have a term, pangling. It's like, who is this? Mary Magdalene saw him, didn't recognize him. Peter saw him, didn't recognize him. The guys on the road to Emmaus saw him, didn't recognize him. But then something's done or a scar is seen. Oh, I know you. We're going to live eternally in this new perfect body. This is huge. And this is why we want to rush to the rest of the world to give them that message. In Jesus, you'll have a new body, a new life. It won't be this old decaying thing that we're dealing with now. It's a wonderful message and so much more than just the body. This is just kind of part of it. But then listen to this. This is where I get really excited. So it's huge that there's a new body but this is where he says, guys, this is what it's all about. My whole ministry here, I want you to understand. Verse 44. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. That's the way the Jews of the time would outline the Old Testament. The Old Testament had three parts. So this is basically all of the Old Testament. Law of Moses, prophets, Psalms. That, in the Psalms would be included things like Proverbs and so forth. So it basically said in every page of the Old Testament, of Scriptures, as he calls it here. And then, verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. What a thrilling moment. This is an all-night seminar, I think. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask for the DVD or the hologram or whatever of this seminar. I want to see what Jesus did. Don't know if they do that in heaven. Don't know if I'll get that opportunity. Maybe I'll find out in other ways. I am thrilled with what I see here. Because he unpacked every shred of Scripture and says, this is how it all connects. He opened their minds to the Scripture, to understand the Scriptures. He said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die, point one, and rise from the dead on the third day, point two. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all ethnic groups, point three. It says nations here in this English translation, not accurate. It's the Greek word ethne, from which we get the English word ethnic group. And many other languages have similar words. His name among the 17,000 ethnic groups in the world, 7,000 of which are vastly unreached to this day. So let me read that again. It was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die, rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all ethnic groups, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. Folks, we have not preached this good news in all ethnic groups. We as the church are still being disobedient. We've done some good things. We've been obedient in part, but we've not been obedient in all. You and I have the privilege, the urgency, the desperation, holy desperation, that says, we got to get there. They've got to hear this good news. It's changed my life. It'll change theirs. If I were to tell you that there was a fire across the street in this house, every one of us would be out the door to do something. Some of us would charge into the building to try to pull people out. Some of us would be gathering water. Some of us would be gathering blankets to help and food. Others of us would be praying. Every single one of us, no matter our ability, would be there helping because people's lives were on the line. Folks, people's lives are on the line today. You and I can change that. We've got to have an urgency that says, Lord, what can I do? What is my job? Is my job to pray Someone this morning said, I can't do much in missions. I said, oh, yes, you can. You can pray. It is your prayer storming through the gates of hell, rescuing people from the fires of eternal damnation that will get people like me and teams that we have to them, because your prayers are opening the way. Your finances, this church gives. Others, two or three people in this church give to us as well, and others around the world. You're a part of this. And the going. We have got to go. We cannot sit where all the Christians are. The lives of people are at stake. Jesus said, you will charge the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not stop you. We often misquote that verse, you know. We often say, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And it's the idea of the gates of hell are chasing us, and God will protect us. Have you ever seen front gates of a house chase anybody? Go out here and look at the gates. Are they going anywhere? No, when it says the gates of hell will not stop you, the gates of hell will not prevail, it means we're literally charging into the edge of death and pulling people out. This is the good news. You and your family can be saved. You and your family can have new life. You and your family can have abundant life here and eternal life worshiping together. This is what Jesus unpacked for them this night. What a thrilling moment. He said, all of Scripture says all of this. Suffer and die. Rise. And everybody in the world will hear. You know, centuries ago, none of the ancestors of any of us in this room are believers, unless you're from the Middle East. My ancestors were not believers. Nobody had brought the news to them. Your ancestors were not believers. Nobody had brought the news to them. Now they have brought the news to us. Now we get to carry it on. What a great privilege. Verse 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Folks, a lot of times we misunderstand what the Holy Spirit coming means. We think it comes so we can have some great experience and worship God, and it's all this one way to God kind of thing. That's a part of it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, study the New Testament. When the Holy Spirit comes, what is the main result? Boldness to share the good news. Boldness to bring people to faith. Over and over, it's the boldness. The Spirit falls on us, not so we can have some nice experience. The Spirit falls on us so that we're not afraid to say, Jesus is the one who brings life. And this is what we want to celebrate on this Easter. Stay here until the Holy Spirit comes on you and fills you with the power from heaven. Two stories as we close. We have seen ordinary people who are just willing enough to believe literally the words God says. Isn't that a surprising thing? And they tell the good news wherever they go. This is the testimony of one of those women. One day, busy with homework at home, I heard a loud voice come through the open window. No, it wasn't God. I heard a loud voice come through the open window. It seemed to come from my neighbor's house. The person was telling a story. I stopped to listen. It was an amazing story of how the world came to be. It was the creation story. Back in the beginning, God made this world a beautiful place. Amazing. I had to give my full attention to that voice. Once the story was finished, I went to find out more. Renee, my neighbor, told me that 3 months ago, she became a follower of Jesus. Renee had never heard of Jesus in her whole life until 3 months before this. A man named Raj gave her an audio speaker with God's stories on it, a little mini SD chip with about 15 stories from Scripture. Gave her an audio speaker with God's stories on it so she could learn what it means to follow Jesus. Rainey now meets with 47 other people in her home each week to study these stories. They listen to a story, then discuss questions about it. That creation story was so beautiful. I began to attend the meetings and soon decided also to follow the God of these stories. 1 month later, I met Raj. He gave me a speaker too. Little speaker, little mini SD card. Now we have two groups meeting in our village. Just like the group at Rini's house, we listen to a story, discuss what it teaches about God, then try to apply it to our lives that week. We're all learning about God. I'm very thankful to Raj for providing us with a speaker. Without it, we would not be able to know this amazing and lovely God. I am an illiterate woman. I cannot read or write, but the stories on the speakers have changed my life. Two churches started by simply listening to God's word and obeying it and telling others, sometimes through an open window as the sound travels. Then another story. This is a movement where there are 17,000 churches in 5 years, from zero to 17,000. And this is why it's spreading. Brother Singh told Raj a few months ago about his Lord Jesus. This is Raj's testimony. It's another Raj. That time, I was facing so many problems. I shared all my problems with Brother Singh, and he understood that my life was in a very tremendous situation. Folks, that's an understatement. His life was a mess. My life was in a very tremendous situation. He prayed for me. He assured me that Jesus can do better in my life. I love that phrase. He gave me one speaker, again, this speaker with the SD chip in it. Use this speaker every day and hear the Word of God. I started to hear these stories with all my family members. From this, my whole family decided to be followers of Jesus. After 6 days, one of my brothers came to me. His name is Nate, not his real name. His name is Nate. He asked about that speaker. I told him, "This is the word of the true God who was crucified for me and all of us. If you believe on him, then he is able to give you salvation, peace, and eternal life." This guy telling this story has been a speaker for about 4 weeks. And he's telling what he knows and how true is what he told. Nate was shocked. This is his brother, remember. Nate was shocked because these things were fully new for him. They'd never heard of Jesus. He couldn't say anything about Jesus, but only, "May I have the speaker?" Now remember, these are brothers, okay? Listen to this. "I said, okay, but I'd only give it to you for 2 days." That's what brothers are for, right? But it was so important to him. I'll share it, but you got to get it back. Nate brought it to his home, started to hear the stories. The next day he came back to me and said, "It's amazing. I believe that he is amazing God. I want to be a part of his kingdom." One day of hearing God's word. Together we decided to spread these things to our relatives, and so we did. So matter of fact, and so we did. After 1 week, we both started two new house churches with our relatives, and 22 people have now taken baptism from those families. I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus who filled my life with his joy and his blessing. My friends, we have new brothers and sisters in Christ in places where there is no gospel who are obeying and sharing it with others. And thousands and tens of thousands of people are coming to faith. You and I can do the same. We continue to support, we continue to pray, but we continue to share the good news because it is great news with our friends right here in Penang. What a great privilege on this Easter for Jesus to appear and to say, "Peace, well-being, it's okay. This is life. This is the new life, the new resurrection body, the new life. Go share so others can enjoy it as well." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you for the privilege of serving you. We thank you that on that Easter so many years ago, you showed up in the new body that we will one day get. We thank you that you said, you would give us your authority and your spirit, and we would be bold. I pray for boldness. I pray for an anointing of boldness, of wisdom and boldness on this congregation, that we will not shy away from the great opportunity to share with people, even if we don't think they're going to respond well. We still have the privilege because we're seeing people respond that have never responded before. And so I pray for the Spirit to anoint everyone in here with a boldness to tell not some personal experience, but a boldness to share and a joy in sharing. And Father, thank you that this church continues to be faithful in supporting and praying for workers such as Erica and myself in places where the gospel's never been. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in the name of Jesus.